Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Katrina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. So I want to need your help tonight. Anyway, I never start my show off without prayer, so let's just go straight into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. I humbly come to you, Lord. I humbly come to you, and I place Katrina at the throne of your feet. I ask you to forgive me of any of my sins, thought, word, and deed right now, Lord. I thank you for whatever this heaviness or whatever is trying to come over me that I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to give you the honor. I'm going to give you the praise regardless of what the doctor says. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, or I'm going to be more than a conqueror, and only through you, Lord. I thank you for allowing this month to come in. Thank you for allowing me to celebrate another birthday. I thank you as I'm with my cousin this weekend and vacationing with my son, that you give me the opportunity. You extend me grace, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the grace and peace beyond all understanding, and I thank you that as I come into this show now, humble as I know how, I submit everything over to you, any worries, anything that's not of you, Lord, I submit it to you right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the person you have to speak on tonight in regards to marriage, Lord. It is such a beautiful institution. And I thank you for allowing us to cross paths and that she would share her blueprint in respect to a marriage. And not only just her, but for those who are going through marriage, thinking about marriage and has married right now, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah is the highest that I can give you right now. I give you honor. I give you glory. And Lord, I thank you and I receive your peace beyond all understanding. You say when two or three are gathered together in the midst that you will be. So Lord, I turn this over to you. Thank you for allowing me to be the vessel. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. So I thank you. I thank you very much for coming on tonight. As I mentioned, my name is Katrina Kirkendall, and you're tuned in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I thank you because tonight, well, actually this whole month, we have been dealing with the subject of love. The month of February is very special to me for so many reasons. One is Black History. Two, it's my birthday month. And three, just for grand, that's another month to hear. I mean, some of us have gone on. And I thank you for who you are. And I'm not going to continue to babble. But I want to say a special thank you for all those who tune in, whether it's replay, whether it's live. Thank you for sharing. It really means a lot when you think that you put in hard work, you put in hard effort, and sometimes I don't feel like I'm doing much. I'm just trying to do what he's calling me to do. And there are times when I get discouraged. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just going to keep it real with you. I do get discouraged. Hey, cuzzo, I get discouraged, but I know that who you are and whose you are, and I thank you. I thank you for those who support me in the United States and outside of the United States. I didn't realize that people are really enjoying what God has placed upon me. And I cannot go without thanking you. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for always being there. Thank you for being faithful. And we're going to move forward. As I mentioned, this month is the month of love. We're coming into our series of love. We started off with self-love and the importance of self-love, because if you don't have self-love, you can't afford to give love to anybody else. You're just not going to be able to do it. And then we talked about relationship love, and that was with Felicita Hawkins, and she was awesome and phenomenal. And then last weekend, we did relationships. Not just any type of relationship, but a godly relationship for those who are looking to start to get into that relational situation and Pastor Frank and Dr. Yolanda Jerry graced us with their presence and gave a phenomenal. If you haven't heard any of these speakers, please go back on the page and listen to it, or you can go back to my Facebook page for Chronicles, or you can actually go to Blog Talk Radio and look for Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. Well, tonight is not going to be any different. We're going to be talking about the blueprint of a godly marriage. And this young lady, I had the opportunity of meeting her on a prior occasion with another person. Y'all probably heard me say Pastor Angie before, and Pastor Angie is definitely the common denominator for us, and that's Miss Denisa Byrne. She has actually been on the show before, and we were able to put the stuff out there on the table about, you know, you say you want to be married. Well, now we're talking about once you go through that stage of wanting to be married, then you enter into the institution of marriage. It's a beautiful thing when you enter it and when you maintain it properly. And that is what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I will like to introduce to some and present to others, Miss Denisa Byrne. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for agreeing to coming on and chopping it up with me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited to be back on. And I don't know if I should have gave you that book or not, but God bless you. Because I said that's a whole gold changer.
Talk about her book. She wrote a book, Diary of a Widow, Blueprint of a Godly Marriage. And if you have not read this book already, I'm going to suggest that you read this book, especially single ladies. I'm especially though because that hit me. I've been married before, but, you know, I'm single, and I've been single for a long time, and I've been single longer than I've been married. So, but it was definitely a blueprint for me, and I really did. It's some things that you just don't think about it, but then once you get married, you know, that's what she talks about as well. So we're going to just dive into it. Well, let me first say this. Miss Denisa, who are you? What do you do, and why do you like what you do?
Well, I'm what they say, jack of all trades, master of none. I'll say of something.
No, I stand the difference on that one. Not when it comes to you.
I have D.A. Burns International Ministries, known as a prophet. I'm the elder at my church. I have Abundantly Supplied Life Solutions. I'm a life and business coach. I'm just getting my boutique open for recycle and upcycle clothing, and I also do crochet design. And, of course, I'm an author. This is my second book, and I'm actually writing a workbook to go with this book. And,
awesome.
And what else? I'm a mother of four. And just a lot of that. I'm also going to be starting a weekly program on Facebook Live on my public figure page. It's going to be called Taking Dominion, and it'll start on this Thursday. So just starting to really get myself back out there. I also facilitate a women's ministry called Jewel, which is Jesus Entrusted Women Enjoying Life. We do retreats and nice things like that for ourselves, because women tend to devalue themselves and do a lot of things for others and don't do anything for themselves. And the mm-hmm. mandate is to pamper ourselves. So with all that said, I think that's about it. That's about it. I travel, I take speaking engagements, I just, you know, wherever the Lord leads, I go.
Mm-hmm. Being obedient. So I can't go wrong when you be obedient. You can't go wrong when you're obedient. You know, I will say this. I want to give kudos to this book. And if you're just tuning in, she wrote a book called Diary of a Widow and Blueprints of a Godly Marriage. And actually, that's how I came to know you. That's how you stuck out in my head, because I remember you know, you being married, and I'll let you talk about what happened in the end, but just how you just covered by his grace, and how you stuck with God regardless of what's going on. But there was a story, and when now they have to read the book, you know, it talks about, you know, like your first chapter is, will you take this man or woman? You know, and at first, you know, you kind of, when you go through your table of contents, you just kind of scan through it, be like, oh, okay. And then I started reading and started getting in depth with it. So let's just go straight into it. So I'm going to try to get through this. And if I don't, what it sounds like, it may be another show. That's what it sounds like. So we're going to try to dive into this and try to get through this as much as we can for these next 46 minutes. So tell us what made you write the book, first of all?
Well, my husband, before I forget, let me throw this out here. What I did for your show and the people that are listening and watch this, for this week, from this Sunday to next Sunday, the book, you go to Amazon, you order the book, and the book will be $1.99.
Wow.
For this week,
it's worth
for those
it.
Who order the
it's
book.
Worth more than that, but get it.
It's usually $9.99. It's an advertising special that I did. And because I want people to be blessed, I want people to get revelation and hopefully help them. And so the book will be $1.99 for those who would like to have it. And then later, I'll have the workbook up there. But yes, so that's the special for this week for those who are listening for this program. So now the book itself came about. My husband and I have been married 29 years, and in 2017, well, in 2008, he had suffered a major stroke, and it just changed our lives completely. And the doctors had said all these things were going to happen, and he wasn't going to be able to walk or talk and all these things. But the testimony was that he came out of it, and all he had was like a heavy limp. But he didn't even have to walk with the cane. He didn't have a wheelchair. So we blessed God for that. And but he was, you know, unable to go back to the work that he did. So that kind of changed, and then I had to take care of him. So, you know, it changed our lifestyle, okay, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we adjusted, praise God, and all of that. And then so that was for, that's like 10 years. And so 9 years passed, and we thought he had a heart attack or something. He was cutting the grass, and he goes to the hospital. We're in the hospital for like 2 weeks. And he looked like he's having seizures, a heart attack, all these different things. They couldn't find out, and they found out he had blood clots. And got that, we got that resolved, think everything's okay. You know, I'm like, you'll live and not die. You know how we do. And he's doing okay. And then he had back surgery. And 2 days after that, he acted like he was presenting with a seizure again, and I just thought, oh my goodness, you know, he's got another blood clot. And they took him to the hospital, and they worked on him. It was so unusual because, you know, usually when somebody codes or anything, they don't work on them but a certain set amount of time. They worked on my husband for like 2.5 hours. And I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, he's talking to me. And, you know, and I was like, talking to God. It just wasn't making sense to me, you know, at the time. Anyway, the doctor came back in the room and told me that they had done all they could do. The shock of it threw me just, that's all I heard, that's all I knew, I was gone. It just so happened that the pastor's mother, because my pastors were out of town, she said, something just told me to get up and come be up here at the hospital with you. So she was with me, so I wasn't alone. So we had just celebrated our 29 years, and then just like that, he was gone. And that was a Saturday, and it was just, it was just unbelievable to me. So the next day, you know, I get up and get dressed, and everybody's looking like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. Where else do I have to go? I can't sit here. You know, why sit we here and die? Mm-hmm. So I got up and I went to church, and I think I cried the whole service because my husband was the armor bearer to the pastor. And it was just like, he's supposed to be sitting right there. He's supposed to be doing this. He's supposed to be doing that. You know, but I went to church. I tell people, you know, when you know who's the healer is, and when you mm-hmm. know who the doctor is, and you know, why would you sit at home when you what you need is right at the church? I mean, the mm-hmm. the confidence in me, but the words that I need to hear are there. The atmosphere mm-hmm. that I needed mm-hmm. to be in was there. You know, so mm-hmm. I went there. I had been, it had been about 6 months, and I just couldn't seem to get myself together. And when I say get myself together, I was going through the motions. And people have when you are more of a mature Christian, or I guess the perception is that you are, you know, I'm an elder and all these other things. And people think you have a capacity to deal with things well. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. since I wasn't,
forgetting that you're human,
you know,
too.
Yeah. And so since I seemingly, I guess, looked good going through, you know, they were like, you know, well, you shouldn't, you know, post every day, you know, every month that you've been gone a month. And you know, so I'm looking at people like, you know, maybe I need to do this. I don't know what the process is when you lose a husband after almost 30 years. I don't know what, you know, this is new to me, you know, so, and after a while, you know, I started shutting down and stopped, you know, like exposing myself. Mm-hmm. So I started shutting down around a lot of people and Facebook, you know, and all this other, because usually I don't put personal stuff anywhere on Facebook. I minister on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, we're just going to, you know, cut. And then the Holy Spirit started dealing with me. He says, you got to get this out of you mm-hmm. Because there's other things need to be done. And I'm like, what if you got me? He said, write a book. I said, write a book? You know, write a book about what? I don't even know what to use to write a book about, because we had already been prophesied my husband had a legacy. I'm like, my husband had a legacy, Lord, and what's the legacy? He's gone, you know. And I was sitting there, and I heard marriage vows. And I thought, but I just, and then I thought about it. I said, you know, I've been on my high horse about the marriage vows and marriages and the divorce rate in the church being worse than the divorce rate in the world for quite a few years. And I said, okay, all right. And so I got out the, you know, I wrote down all the little marriage vows, and then I got to writing under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, Lord, but this going to mean I'm going to have to lay my stuff out here, you know, because I don't know nobody yeah. else's stuff to tell. I don't know nobody else's stuff to tell. I'm going to have to tell my stuff. And so
right.
I did. I told my stuff, you know, because it, what I learned with my first marriage was, is God point blank just flat out told me, did nobody ask me if you were supposed to marry him?
Mm-hmm.
He said, mm-hmm. you know that the devil is a counterfeiter. We know that.
Yeah.
But we don't apply that. So, of course, mm-hmm. he gathers together people to marry each other. Of course, he makes them think that they're in love, but they just infatuated, you know, or they're in love. And they think it's love.
Yes.
And, you know, there's all these other things he presents to them. Oh, she's beautiful and he's handsome. And they just looking at the outward appearance, you know. And then when that goes, mm-hmm. then what do you have? He said, and then they get together, like me and my ex did, and it's like dynamite and a match. And they're not producing anything. Yeah, they're not producing anything but strife and ill will and rage. And, you know, they're producing all the, and anger, and, you know, all these mm-hmm. demons are running around the house getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and that's what they're producing. And so mm-hmm. that's the fruits of their spirit that they're producing, and because the enemy put them there. It was just like that. You know, and I was up there running around telling the Lord after I got divorced, Lord, why you let me? God was like, well, not a soul asked me nothing. Daddy going to church.
Yeah, it's funny.
Steady praying.
It's funny. You said something in your book, in fact, in this same chapter right here, and you said that we as people, when we don't ask God and we get into these relationships and we tear down what should be built up and we build up what needs to be torn down. And I said, boom.
Right. Exactly.
Everything good to you ain't good for you.
Right. That's right. That is so
everything
true.
Everything good to
it
you ain't good
true.
For you.
And then you need to ask somebody. You know, we don't want to ask people with wisdom. You know, we don't want
right.
to ask, the mothers don't nobody want to claim to be a mother of the church no more. Because when you go to ask the mothers of the church for something, they give them, well, I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want, okay. That's what they say. If they get this crazy now, they don't even want you to pray for them. They'd be like, no, don't pray. Unless it's for a house or a car or something like that, they don't want you to pray for the other stuff, you know. How about praying for abstinence? You know what I'm saying? Give me strength to continue being celibate. You know, they like, no, they don't want that. They don't want that.
You're right. We don't want to wait. That's the issue, I think. And I'm guilty of it, too. Every now and then, I'm like, oh, you know what? But when I think about my peace of mind, I'm good. I get good. We have a comment out on Facebook Live that says, as you were explaining some of your scenarios, or we ask God, but we neglect to wait for the answer. And that is very
That's
true.
Right. That's
we don't
very
want,
true.
We don't want to wait, or we cannot accept the answer that he gives us. We don't want to
that's
accept
right.
it.
That's right.
We don't want to accept it.
And, you know, that's right. That's absolutely right. Because from day one, I knew that basically from day one, it was known that my first husband should never be my husband. Number one, I was 15 and he was 25. So it was known. Yeah, she said, that's what my mother did. So, you know, you do those things. And couldn't nobody tell me nothing. The fact that my mother didn't care for him just made him even more attractive, you know, because it's in teenage years of rebellion. And then, see, the thing of it, but see, then I flipped the script. Once I got out, oh, I can handle everything. But I had never paid a bill before. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, I can do everything. You know, and then, but the difference, too, when you decide that you're going, you know, this is it, God, I need you to do this. And in the second chapter, I said, your covenant before God. I was like, if I'm going to get married again, I've got to do it God's way, number one. But I made my promise to God before I made my promise to King. And so I was trying to say that in a way, I think, in chapter two. I told God, look, Daddy, I promise you I'm going to do right. If I, you know, I promise you that I'm going to do whoever you send me, whatever happens, I'm going to do right. Because I'm going to promise you first.
Right.
Because I can't afford to keep messing up. Because that first one cost me, you know. That it was domestic violence involved. It cost me. And I was like, I don't want that to cost me like that again. You know, I don't want to be in a relationship where I don't know when the next fight going to come up and we done tore up furniture, broke up stuff, and everybody think we the perfect little family by day and we trying to kill each other at night. You know, I'm like, in appearances, look good and all that. I don't want that.
Right.
I don't want the mental part of it or the physical part of it. So I said, Lord, please, I promise you. So when things got kind of shaky and flaky, wasn't getting married, I could hear, I'll be in the room praying, God, all I can hear is myself saying, Lord, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. I won't do that again.
Yeah, God telling me, yeah, but you promised me that you was gonna work at this. See, so it's so easy for folks to get divorced. Mm-hmm. See, it get rough. They hightailing it. I'm like, why are you leaving out of stuff? When you stood there and said that you loved them, love don't leave. If you make your covenant with God, okay, make your covenant with God. You get with him first. Because he pretty went told his mother like 2 weeks, something, a month after he met me, he was going to marry me. And I know the word, right? I knew the word. Because when I met her, she was like, come over here. And she told me what he said. I'm like, that ain't happening. And I knew the word. I knew that he that finds a wife. But I'm like, no. And I knew what I had prayed for too. But I was like, nah. That's why I wrote about these preconceived notions we have as women of what kind of men we want. But the fact that he was younger, the fact that he was under 6 feet tall, we get stupid stuff let it get in our way. You know, it's like, oh, he ain't 6 feet tall. He's younger than me. Oh, dang. Then I was like, but I thought about it. He's morals. We be turning up our nose and stuff, but I thought about it. And I said, our morals and our values, his aunt and uncle raised him, and they were founding members of a church. And so he was already, he's already raised up in the church. And then as far as we talk about, what our values were, what our morals were, and all that stuff, we were so similar. We would get up, we'd go to church on Sunday, and, after church, he always went to see his mother. And he preferred, he wants to spend time with his mother. I go home because he wanted to spend time with his mother. So I was like, who does that, Lord? Who does that? And, I was like, who does that? Okay, go and sit down with your mama. You go, boy. So I was like, that was their time. You know what I'm saying? So these things, so it was like one of the little excuses I could come up with was kind of flatlined because I was like, Lord, I want a man that loves me. I'm going to tell the truth. I said, Lord, I want a man that loves my dirty drawers.
There you go.
I want one to love me like that and put a ring on every finger because I didn't have a wedding ring the first one. I said, I want a man to put a ring on every finger. I want a man that loves you. I mean, I had my stuff laid out, okay? And then there was this man who, okay? And when here's this man looking at me like, I am more than thebomb.com, and I'm sitting telling him no.
Nope.
And so I almost missed him and missed God again. God, you really gonna miss this, right? Because you sit up here with all this baggage from the first one, and you gonna let fear make you miss it. Because you sit up here because he got four kids, I got four kids. Lord, I said, Lord, that makes sense. people be like, oh, girl, I wouldn't even have considered that. Is he younger than you? He's 9 years younger than you. Whoa. We do that. We talk to our friends and family. Be like, girl, I don't know about all that. We count ourselves out on things, and people count us out. And then I started playing a wedding, and the family got to see back and forth on how I was going to make all the dresses. We went to dress a piece and got married. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I was like, and I tell you, for all the resisting I did in the beginning, I thank God every day I did not miss my good thing. Okay.
Yes.
I did not miss him.
Yes.
And we proved that it was right because everybody was taking bets. This ain't going to last. Three baby mamas and a baby dad. This ain't going to, they ain't going to make it. They ain't going to make it 29 years later.
Can't get any better than that. For those who are just tuning in, my name is Patina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I have a privilege and the pleasure of speaking with Miss Denisa Burns, and we're talking about the A Diary of a Widow, the blueprint, her blueprint of a godly marriage, and she's given her perspective of that blueprint. And, oh, it has just been a phenomenal week as we're doing our love month. So I'm going to go back into, if you know someone who could be blessed by this, please share. You know, I always tell me I should do the likes and the hearts and stuff like that. If you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. Either way, whoever this message is for is going to be reaching them. So I thank you, but if you want to like and share, you're more than welcome to do so. Now, we're talking about her book, and for those who don't know, it is A Diary of a Widow, The Blueprint of a Godly Marriage, and that's what we're talking about tonight. And as she mentioned, she has a special going on, and I'll let her go back to that in a few minutes. So we're in the chapter two of the book, talking about the covenant of God. And she was just talking about, one, you need to make sure you have, before we get there, the relationship with yourself, and then go to God. Then, two, make sure you're going to God and not depending on yourself or your spouse or the person that God is intending for you to have. And women, a man that finds a wife finds a good thing, not a woman who finds a husband. Please be mindful of that. Sometimes we tend to forget, and I am guilty. I'll be the first one to admit guilty of it. But when I learned, when he buckled me and humbled me down, when I learned my place, hey, love, when I learned my place, I saw this Facebook post that says, you know, I'm working on me right now, because sometimes I realize that I'm the problem. And I was like, hallelujah. You know, that is because sometimes we get our pride and stuff getting our way. We get stubborn and we try to tell God what we want to happen. And then we go move forward because he's telling us what we don't need to do. And we do it anyway, just like our parents. They'll tell us not to do something and we didn't go and do it anyway. But God would be like this, okay, well, you're getting off the path. I'm going to let you stray off the path because you're coming back. You are going to come back.
Right.
And when you do, we'll pick up from going on there. But then look at all the time we've wasted, because one thing we can never get once we move it is time. It's precious, and you didn't take advantage of it. Because once you lose it, you use it, you lose it. And that's just all to it. But what I love most about in your covenant before God, Ms. Denisa, is you mentioned something about your husband that, you know, you two pray together. You mentioned, you know, y'all will pray, you all will pray together. So y'all have the relationship. But, you know, you are already in the church, like deep into the church with positions and stuff like that. And in the book it says, I quote, so when he told me he felt like I was leaving him, leaving him, and he said he felt like he was spiritually behind you. What I loved about it is how you came back, and you heard your husband say you feel he felt like he was spiritually behind you. I want to talk on what you did when he came and told you that.
Actually, we were out. It was our anniversary, and we had went out. My husband was a workaholic, and he was a manager at that time. Where was he, man? I think at Bob Evans. And he always worked in the restaurant industry. So, you know, he worked weekends and nights and days and all of that in between. So he's always working. And I worked, you know, 8 to 5. I was a business manager. So I worked. So I would be in our church at that time. We went to church on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And you know, and of course I was in leadership. And he wasn't, because his schedule wasn't as conducive. So, you know, he was like, we were talking, and all of a sudden he just looked at me, and Jimmy was kind of a quiet guy, so I'd be like, what's the matter? He got all serious for a minute, and I was like, what's wrong? And he said, I just feel like you're up here. You know, he put his hand up high. He said, and I'm, like, down here. And I said, with what? And he's like, you know, with, you know, just church and leadership, prayer, spiritual, everything. And I was like I was really shocked, I'll be honest with you, because he was just quiet. You know, that to me, that was just him being quiet. You know, I didn't think he saw it as me being higher than him or anything. I was off in my thing. It never occurred to me he felt that way. So I was like, so what does it take? And he said, I don't know. And I was looking at him like, you don't know. And I was like, okay. So, you know, one of the things that I used to do a lot as an intercessor, I used to pray. I had a closet. I used to go in and pray, you know, fairly loud in the closet and everything. I just started quieting myself down. And I would come in there with him, and I would tell him to pray. I would say, well, you know what, why don't you just pray tonight? Before we go to bed, well, you know, why don't you just go on and pray? And another thing that he did is that I told him, I said, you know, we have been back and forth about this Sunday thing because he's the manager and makes the schedule. He can be there on at least Sunday. So he started trying to, you know, he started getting the Sundays off, rearranging his schedule. And then after that, I didn't do this, but this is what opened up, is that our pastor's wife, they co-pastor, she started using him. We actually went to noonday service in the middle of the week, and he started going with me there, and she started using him to help her pray for people. And I knew that was opening that door. So that really changed some stuff for him. And I didn't think too much more about it. And then I realized one day he was like, he was sitting in church and he wasn't sitting with me because it was full. The place was packed. And he came in on a Sunday, but he got there a little late. And he was sitting there and he looked really funny. And I was looking at him like, what's wrong? You know, we've been married a long time. You can just look at each other and see something that doesn't He was looking back at me, shaking his head, no, because I was going to get up and go back there and see. Because he looked really strange, and he was rubbing his hands. And I'm like, what's going on? And then later he told me that he actually had a vision, and God had given him a vision. And it scared him, but he got it at the same time. And after that, and the vision included something that was telling him that it wasn't that God wasn't, that he was lower than me. It was that he had been afraid to change, you know, to get there where I was. And after that, he changed his schedule some more. So, you know, but I did. I stopped because I've noticed over the years, because I got a big mouth and I'm loud, that when I pray, it can be intimidating to people. So, you know. Then you know, and that's just not just for him, it's for others too. I've had people come up, boy, if I could pray like you, I said, you don't know what it costs me.
Right.
To pray like I pray.
Right.
So please pray the best you can pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in certain situations, I just don't pray, you know, I pray quieter, or I'll pray when I get home or whatever. So, but yeah, I really did adapt and change my prayers, the way I pray when he was home, because I felt like it was intimidating him. And you know, you got this, but there's another part in there. I think it's in the cover, whatever. When he told me I was domineering.
Yeah. Well, you asked that question. You asked. You are a control person, a control freak.
Yeah.
And you asked him the question, am I domineering? And women, let me just say, please don't ask questions you can't handle the answers to.
Lord knows you're going to be upset.
You are Lord knows. And when he responded, and you said he was just as calm, cool. Yes, he was. And then and you were going off. And he said, in a calm voice, I answered your question.
Yep. That's
I love
what
it.
He said.
I loved it.
Too
I
was
absolutely,
too our
true
dummy. Have seen my face when he said, yes, you are.
Yep.
He might as well have smacked me. I was so injured.
But, Miss Denisa, what made you ask that question is what you are already knew.
I already knew it.
But now, that's Shayna, you had already knew.
Ooh, but did it hurt my face? I felt like he had slapped me.
Yeah,
I just felt like he had.
Because you asked. You know, like I said, you got to be careful what you ask for. But I want to skip a bit because of time.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
you talked about rich or poor. This is what got
mm-hmm.
me when you talk about, how you all support. What I loved about it is you all found a commonality of, I'm good at, so I'm going to do this, and I'm good at this, and I'm going to do that. And your husband was, he was one who would cook, clean, like it's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
He did it better than a woman. And you were the one who
mm-hmm.
did the finances, and it worked better
mm-hmm.
for you all once you came to the table
mm-hmm.
to say, hey,
right.
okay, let me handle this, and then I'm going to let you
mm-hmm.
handle that. And no one got intimidated or
mm-hmm.
everybody understood their place and the role that they played. And what struck me the most out of that chapter, for richer or for poorer, is sometimes richer or poorer is not all about money.
Right. Right.
I love that.
Right.
I love it.
We as women, we need security. Okay, I made more money than he did. And, of course, because he had child support for four children. But I made more money than
mm-hmm.
he did. And I never made him feel bad about it. That wasn't the issue or anything to me. And it wasn't an issue to him. He would just, literally, this man would come home and would give me his whole check. It didn't matter. But he was so bad with money. I even wrote it in here what he did, because he was, like, so busy buying
mm-hmm.
me Christmas presents. Baby, when them lights got cut off, I'm telling you. I was like, Jesus, take the wheel. And it wasn't going to be cut on until Monday. I was like, Jesus, take the... Because I had been taking these bills and doing the bills, and he was in a church, and we had these workshops. He called me Niecy. He said, Niecy, I just want to try it, okay? Let me do it. And I said, okay. I said, I'll submit to it. I'll let you do it. But, honey, it took Jesus I told God, I said, I think I'm going to have to bite the tip of my tongue off. I have to
mm-hmm.
breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I had tears coming to my eyes. I was like, oh, don't do it. Just breathe. And I was like, oh, my God. I kept my mouth shut, y'all. See, that's the other thing, that women, we got it bad because we want to mm-hmm. say something. We want to run our mouth. I said, oh, boy. And he was feeling bad, but I was about ready to just fall out. Because we want security. We want to know our
mm-hmm.
stuff is, we want security. Now, security is not always about money. But we want to feel secure. We want to feel safe. We want to know everything okay. The one thing that I really, really loved about my husband was when things were happening with my children, that's a whole other book, but when the things were going crazy with my children, my husband would wake up, and poor thing, he would be tired because he worked 12 and 14-hour days. And if he had to hold me all night long, he would hold me all night long. That's security. And
yeah.
he would pray and he would hold me. If I cried all night, he'd hold me all night. And so, that was just the thing. So, yeah, we found out quick, fast, in a hurry. And, yes, women, yes, ladies, yes. The man will cook, clean, wash clothes, do the dishes, everything. If he washed and dried the clothes and my stuff was wrinkled because he knew I was going to have a fit, he would iron my clothes. Yes.
Wow.
And everybody would say, you are just spoiled. And I said, yep, I will concede the point. Take out the trash. Rub them off the floors. I mean, the gamut. The only thing he didn't do was the bathrooms, and that's because I have a personal thing about the bathrooms. But other than that, he mm-hmm. did everything else. It was
wow.
just his thing. Yeah, it was
so
just his thing. He liked it.
So basically, you found out what your strength is and what your weaknesses were, and you worked it out. So whatever
and
he was weak, he was strong. Whatever you was weak in, he was strong for you. And it can't get any better than that. It really can't. For those who are tuning in, you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Karkinom. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to have you here. I'm here with a wonderful Miss Denisa Burns as we are discussing her blueprint of marriage. And it's coming from the perspective A Diary of a Widowed Woman. And just hearing what I'm hearing, you know, this now, you know, the rich or poor, you know, when you're selecting your husband or waiting on God to send you that person versus you going out there. And then the covenant that you have, you know, cover, you know, mm-hmm. you said something in the book that says, why cover your husband, you know,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned something, I can't remember which chapter it was, but it stuck out to me is that we have a tendency as women, and I'm going to say men are not guilty of this because I definitely know how this is. When someone is wrong, we will grind it and grind it and grind it in
yes.
the hole. And what I loved about you
yes.
is that you said that when you got upset, you would go to God. You wouldn't go to Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
You would pray
mm-hmm.
about it. And you continued
mm-hmm.
to pray about it until change, until God worked on him and it changed. And
mm.
one of the things my brother told me when I was, you know, as we were growing up, he said, Tina, you don't have to tell a man what that he's doing wrong. Because trust me, he know he's doing it. And you need to allow him the opportunity to come back to you because we're going to come back as men. Just allow us
right.
the time to process because we have
yep.
a tendency of not wanting to process because we felt like we needed to
yep.
when we just need to be quiet.
Yep.
We need to be quiet.
I'm
guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I come from four generations of women with no men. And I that nagging thing, oh my God. And I said, when I get grown, the one thing I will not do is nag a man. There and
mm-hmm.
so I don't do no nagging. And then I used to pull out my what I call my secret weapon, and Kenny would know it too. Because just as I was getting ready to just start going, but we had such different styles. Like I put in the book, he was a sulker. So when he get upset, he always said he told the truth. He did not argue. So he would shut down, and he would kind of like he like a little kid stick their lip out and put their hands under their shirt. He's a grown
mm-hmm.
man. What he would do, he would sit there. And, but me, I'm one of the people, I would probably rant. Oh, well, back in the day before I was saved, I would, like, curse you out in 10 minutes and be done and walk away and be
mm-hmm.
all right. But so, you know, I do that 10-minute screaming, holler, have a fit, and then I'm all right. So then I said, you know what, the change was now, it's like, I'm going to tell Jesus on you. And I go out somewhere and speak in my, you know, heavenly language and the funny thing was that sometimes I'd be like, God gonna get you and God would get me. I'd be like, hey, Lord, what? What
mm-hmm.
I got to do that? So Peter went
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do what? You know,
mm-hmm.
but then it would be like, you know, yes, you do. You got to do it. Because, see, now you the one with the problem with it. He ain't the one with the problem with it. You the one that's
mm-hmm.
the problem with you. Dang.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I did not nagging. And, you know, I did not nag because I just, like, I'm not nagging. I'm just sitting there looking at you like, okay. Now, and we were never really mad at the same time. So I'd be, like, looking at him, and he'd be looking at me, and I'd be like, are you mad? And I'm like, oh, you stalking because you got your hands on your t-shirt. Okay. So I let him stalk. I give him his time. It wouldn't bother me because I wasn't mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be like, okay, mm-hmm. you just sit there and get over it. He's ready to tell me something. Because half the time, I wouldn't know what he had got upset about. So I just had to wait. And he was a quiet guy. So, you know, you just have to wait till he said something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
and that's what I would mm-hmm. like for you to kind of highlight is the importance of waiting for them, because we have a tendency of we want a resolution right then, right now, and sometimes it can't be that way. And instead of falling back, we started falling up, and then you're making them angry. You know, you're putting them in an uncomfortable place, and we have to, as females, recognize that.
Yeah.
That's anyone. Especially I tell people, when I get quiet, just leave me alone. I'm right in the middle of conversation. Yeah. I just quiet or I just stop. Just leave me alone. Let me have my moment.
Yeah.
Because now I got a process. But if you go past that and past that and past that, I can't promise you my tongue will stay dull. Because I'm telling you, I need my space. And this is a male or female. I need my space because I got to process what's going on, because I don't want to come off some kind of way. And I can if I allow myself to do it. So I thought that was very nice on what you said in the book. And I told you this time was going to go by fast. So you know you're going to have to come back, because we just scratched the surface what I wanted to talk about. But before I move forward to our next the chapter I want to talk to you next, I do want you to introduce the book and the special you have going on right now.
Okay. The book is available at Amazon, and you can pull it by my
name, or the
name of the book. It's Diary of a Widow. You can just put that in, and it'll pull up the book. You'll see on the front cover, it's got a picture of me and my husband. That was me before I lost. I don't look like that now. Me before I lost 100 pounds. And my husband is the last pictures that we took before he passed. And the book is going to be on a special sale right now for $1.99. It's regularly $9.99. It's $1.99 from this Sunday to next Sunday. And do me a favor, all those who buy the book and read the book, and go back in and give me a review if you would. I would greatly appreciate that. So just give me a review on Amazon. So that's the special. And then hopefully by this summer, I'll have a workbook to go with this book. And I'll have that up and running. Because everybody's asked me to teach a workshop on it, which I probably will do.
And I think it'll be a good one.
Because I tell people all the time, even the single people, this is I know God ordained this, because these are the wedding vows. People wait until the wedding to go over the wedding vow. And I'm like, y'all know what these mean, right? Y'all know, do you have a clue, or do you even listen really to the words, or you just saying yes, 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 and then when you get home, realize that you're not going to do them?
Well, the book is definitely good for those who are married, but also those who are, I have to speak on it on a single point of view, and I've learned a lot from this book. I couldn't put it down. I started reading it once, and then I had to go somewhere, and then I was like, I'm not going back to this book until I can complete it, and I did, and I'm so happy I did, because, one, I love the fact that you keep it real and transparent. I love that, because we definitely need transparency in this day and time.
Yeah.
It's not all, you know, sunflowers and daisies. No, it's work.
Yeah.
It's serious work, you know, but as we are moving forward, we got about 6 minutes. I want to know this particular one before we leave. Something went down between you and your husband and your friend, and it's how you handled it is what I admired the most about it. You had a situation where there was an inappropriate conversation, or something went down, but it wasn't cool. And as a result of it, I love this part. I didn't go, when I got upset, I separated myself. I didn't go to mama them.
Right.
Keep your family out your business.
Yes.
And when you said,
yes, keep them out. Keep your family out your business.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what you did was you said that you didn't go to nobody in your family. What you did was rent a hotel for a few days, have your conversation with God, and then got your guidance on what you need to do and handled your business. And I said, that is phenomenal. Because how many times as women or men, because men are, sometimes they can be guilty, unfortunately, we go back and we go to people that when we go to people, we usually want people that's going to celebrate what we're doing instead of getting truth. But the truth of the matter is we just need to go to God. And I love how you did that.
Mm-hmm.
I love how you did it. And throughout it all, you stuck to that for better or worse, which you're poor, and y'all worked it out. Now, I ain't saying that it was easy, you know, from what I read in the book, but you did what you had to do. And as a result of it, it ended up making you better, both of you.
Yes, better. And it was one of the most, it could have been messier, but it was a mess anyway. So, you know, and what made it so bad is that because neither one would say anything, and I just knew something was going on, wasn't right. So I went in prayer, and it took the Lord himself to tell me what it was. And then when I finally sat down and just basically called her, had her on the phone while I was sitting there with my husband and put her on speaker and said, somebody gonna tell me something right now. And then they wouldn't. So then I told them what I saw. And then she said, tell them. And so then I, you know, and so I kind of, you know, I was hurt. And I was like, you know, this is just a bit much for me. And then when I got angry on top of the hurt, I just went on packed suitcase. Because I said, because right now, I don't want to look at you, and I don't even want to hear from her. But in the end, God took care of it. And I did talk it once again, and I went and I got wise counsel. I didn't go to family. I talked to my pastor, and I talked to my spiritual mentor, and, you know, she was like, you did the right thing by staying at the hotel. It wasn't like she told me do nothing.
Right.
You know,
yep.
And I stayed at the hotel, you know, and it, and you know what? It didn't clear up immediately. You know, like people wanted like microwave success. No, I wanted microwave success. Oh no! And believe me, that just made me mad. And you know, I was like, it just drug out. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you would just confess your sins one to another. You know. And then I got stuck on the scripture, as a man thinketh, so is he. And that just took me over the edge. And I was like, okay, Lord, now what? And I was because once again, you go back to that other side of that chapter, I promised God. Because if I had just promised my husband, oh, baby, I would have been out that door. And that it was more than a suitcase. And God kept saying, you can stay here for 4 days. I stayed at the hotel for 4 days. And I said, now what? And it was on the fourth day that my husband called me and said, we need to talk. Because I was going to be like, now what? Because I know I wasn't going to stay with my family. Because I already know, I told you, four generations of women make it on their own. Not good what they was going to say. So
exactly.
I was like, okay.
I definitely appreciate you sharing. And for those who are not aware, this is her book. It's called Diary of a Widow and the Blueprints of a Godly Marriage. I knew that this time was going to fly by like that. So you know you're going to have to come back because we just scratched the surface tonight. So check it out because you can get it on Amazon for $1.99.
Yep.
Yeah, $1.99. So please make sure you check out A Diary of a Widow, A Blueprint of a Godly Marriage. My name is Fachina Kirkendall. It's always a privilege and a pleasure. I love you, but God loves you more, and I'll see you again next week. Good night.
Good night.
I'm so grateful, God. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Petina Karkanov, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done.